This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, November 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Data shows a lot of people are feeling the pinch of friendflation as rising costs makes friendships harder to maintain. We'll cover that in our next segment, but right now, the election's over. Holiday shopping set to kick into high gear and big discounts roll out everywhere. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home is Dana Telsey, CEO and Chief Research Officer of the Telsey Advisory Group in New York. Dana, thank you for joining us today. I, in my own personal experience, Dana, my jack-o'-lanterns are currently rotting in the backyard, serving as squirrel food. But for a lot of people, it's time to start thinking about shopping for Christmas.
You're exactly right, and thank you for having me. It is time to start thinking about shopping for Christmas and the holidays, especially when there's a compressed holiday season with five fewer days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's a later Hanukkah, and the retailers are definitely beginning to market the season. I think it'll be a more important Black Friday weekend, given there's fewer days between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Now, we've been talking about over the years how the holiday shopping window just keeps getting larger and larger, and that traditionally it was Thanksgiving, then it was November 1st, now we're talking about in October, and even some stores began rolling out the Christmas merch in September, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, just to stretch out those crowds. And are the stores noticing that the shopping public is responding?
I think they are. We're starting to see the holiday season decorations out now. The minute Halloween goes, the new holiday season comes in. But like you, I saw some September events too. Look at Best Buy, who talked about the holiday season in September also. And we did have Amazon Prime Day, Target Circle Week, Walmart's event, all take place in early October. One of the elements this year that's different, it is warm outside. The Northeast, where I live in New York, it's been in the 70s and doesn't make you feel like turtlenecks or sweaters or outerwear. It's supposed to get cool this weekend, which will definitely stimulate holiday spending, I think, a little bit more so than it had been.
As we sift through the results of the presidential election, it's very obvious that inflation was on the top of voters' minds when they cast ballots this week or when they voted early. How is that price sensitivity translating into the way stores make their decisions when it comes to the sale prices on big-ticket items that you would give as a gift?
I think overall, when you think about big ticket items, they've been challenged. Many of them have. I think that's why promotions, value offerings, look at the stream of traffic increases to the off-price retailers. Value matters. We've seen more of a pickup in essentials than you have seen in discretionary. If you do see a pickup in discretionary, it's because of product newness, whether it's the Birkenstock closed-toed shoe, whether it's Ralph Lauren and his wider assortment, and it's changed, and even Deckers with Uggs, where you've seen some newness, that's where you're stimulating discretionary demand. But the level of promotions should be higher this year than last year, even with inventory levels that continue to remain well-controlled.
And then lastly, what is the breakdown, or what is the anticipated breakdown of in-person shopping versus online shopping this year compared to previous years?
Should pick up a little bit compared to previous years. You're still seeing greater gains in online than you are in physical stores, because online is still a smaller portion of the main business. But the events that companies are hosting, the in-store collaborations, the socialization of shopping, should bring foot traffic out, in addition to the fact that the shortened season, everyone is a procrastinator, so they'll have to get out.
Dana Telsey, CEO and Chief Research Officer of the Telsey Advisory Group in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, feeling the pinch of friendflation, how friendships are affected by rising costs.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A growing number of people are struggling with so-called friendflation as rising costs make maintaining friendships financially difficult. Joining us to explain is Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And what is friendflation in a nutshell?
Friendflation, thank you for having me today. I think we've all been there. You know, you go to dinner with friends, someone orders a very expensive bottle of wine, you don't even drink, and if the bill comes and we all split it, and friends want to go to an expensive concert and they call you really excited. But you might have other goals. You might be saving for a house or having to save for college. So sometimes these friends can be very expensive. And I love the term friendflation. It's pretty unique, and I love it. I think everyone in their own mind has an example where that's occurred in their life.
Now, does this cut across all demographic groups and family situations? Because, Sherry, I can tell you, I got three girls at home. The oldest one is 11. And the friendship interactions in my life usually involve going to restaurants that serve only your finest butter noodles and chicken tenders with other parents of young children. And so the expensive tastes tend to go out the window. So is this something that people in their 20s encounter when they're without kids, or is it something that older people encounter when the kids have left the nest?
You know, I think everyone encounters it to an extent, but there's a study by badcredit.org that really Gen Z and millennials, followed by Gen X, you know, they don't have the resources as much, and often they get in the pinch, you know, because you might have some friends that have a lot of excess income versus other friends that are just saving. And, you know, baby boomers are less likely to ditch their friends. And, you know, they've saved money. They might be in a different stage of their life. But I think we're really looking at Gen Z, millennials, and Gen X. Those are probably most affected. And I think, you know, from my kids' standpoint, too, you know, there's weddings, there's birthdays. You know, standing up in a wedding can be very expensive. There's weddings that are out of town. You have to get hotel rooms. You're going to a friend's wedding, you know, out of town. So I think it does affect the younger generation because they don't have as much disposable income, and they're still building their careers at this point.
Is there research on this? Because I think maybe, and this is just my own anecdotal information, that maybe hangout places are a little more expensive today compared to 25 years ago. And this doesn't have anything to do with inflation, because, you know, let's say back in 2004, 2005, if you and your buddies want to knock off after work and just you know, have a couple of beers and hang out, there was always Bennigan's. There was Ponderosa. Yeah. There were these places that you could hang out, but you could also, you know, do so on a budget. And a lot of those places are closed now, and it's been replaced by maybe restaurants that have more upscale offerings.
Definitely. And it depends where you live. I mean, if you're in an urban environment, Chicago, New York, L.A., you know, you're going to spend a lot for a cocktail, for a beer versus, you know, if you're in a smaller town. But I do agree, you know, a lot of people want to go out after work or they want to meet a friend for happy hour. And there are, that's one thing I was going to bring up. There's a lot of happy hour specials. So if you really still want to have a drink with your friend, research those and find the happy hour specials. But I do agree, a lot of the low-cost alternatives are not around.
Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. And check out her book, Maximize Your Return on Life. Coming up next, helping family pay for college through an intra-family loan.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Intra-family loans can offer a flexible, tax-efficient way for families to help fund education. Joining us to explain is Shane Gornick, partner and certified financial planner at Forefront Financial Planning in Lisle. Find him online, preparemyretirement.com. Shane, thank you for joining us today. And when we talk about the numerous instruments that you can use to fund a college education, how often do you come across intra-family loans?
Great question, Rob. We actually do not run into it very often. And the reason for that is a lot of people don't know that it exists. And it's not a great fit for everybody, but for the right type of situation, it can be a really effective tool for helping bridge that education funding gap.
Now, for those of us who are not fully familiar with all the intricacies of tax policy, I think we know some of the tax implications of lending money to family members from that one scene of The Shawshank Redemption. But if you do lend money to a relative, what are some of the tax implications at play?
Well, the tax implications are, particularly if there's a family member that is particularly wealthy and has extra money that they would like to provide, if they just go out and give that money, depending on how much they give, if they give too much, they could trigger federal gift taxes for themselves. And so what this does is it helps create a way for them to give them money on a more favorable basis than they would otherwise, while also trying to avoid those triggering those federal gift taxes. Because you don't want the person donating the money or giving the money to the person wanting to attend college to be hurt in the process when they're already giving money in the first place.
And when we talk about a repayment plan, is this done? Can you decide on an interest rate, or is this usually an interest-free loan?
Great question. It would be great workaround if it was an interest-free loan. However, there is a minimum applicable federal rate, which is something that's set by the IRS each month. And that's one of the advantages of it. So if we look at student loan interest rates currently in the market that are prevailing, we see somewhere around 6.5% to 8.5%. In order for it to avoid being considered an actual gift, and so we can avoid those federal gift taxes, the intrafamily loan has to have an interest rate. And based on the IRS website, it's around 3% or 4%. So it's quite a bit lower than what you would pay as prevailing regular student loan rates. But it does still need to be that minimum rate. And if it's not, then, like I said, it could result in federal gift taxes for the person lending the money.
Now, you say this is something that you don't come across very often, and is that just simply a function of setting up an intra-family loan to pay for college could become a source of discord down the road?
Yes, that's one of the main reasons why it's not done. And also just that person has to have that much money, for lack of better words, lying around that's readily available to use that. But it can be a great tool, especially if the person who needs the money has poor credit or limited income, and they might not be able to get very favorable terms on their own. If the person maybe was intending on giving the money or helping out substantially, that would certainly help as well. And also for them to be able to get they don't want to give the money outright, but they also want to help benefit a family member. So they're not paying, in many cases, double the interest rate that they would if they went and got a student loan out on the regular market.
Shane Gornick, partner and certified financial planner at Forefront Financial Planning in Lisle. Find him online, preparemyretirement.com.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A potential tragedy has been averted in Wisconsin, and a 13-year-old is in custody after bringing a rifle to school. President-elect Trump has named the first member of his new administration. Plus, it's Entrepreneur Friday. This week, a bar owner taps into the restaurant industry. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 253 points. The NASDAQ is up 12. The S&P 500 is up 26. We have 60 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. 12:31, authorities say Kenosha school employees prevented a potential school shooting after a 13-year-old showed up to an elementary school with a rifle. Police say the boy attempted to walk into an elementary school carrying two large bags, but then ran away after staff began questioning him. Chief of Police Patrick Patton shares the initial findings of the investigation.
Again, we're still really early into this investigation. I think the thing that we're trying to get out to everyone is that we were able to resolve this. We have him in custody. And through the initial investigation, we're able to say that this is something that should have been known. This is something that had been told to people of his growing intentions. We know that there was internet searches, and all the red flags that we would look for and expect someone to report were there.
He was arrested after police posted security images of him online, and he was identified. President-elect Donald Trump ramps up transition talks and names his top political aide to fill a key post. CBS News correspondent Natalie Brand with the latest.
The transition team announced that Trump's 2024 campaign manager, Susie Wiles, will be named White House Chief of Staff. Wiles would be the first woman ever to hold that position.
Susie Wiles ran his campaign. She began her career in politics in 1979, working for then-Republican New York Congressman Jack Kemp. She is the daughter of CBS sportscaster and former football player Pat Summerall. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are rising. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer of Hugh Johnson Economics in Albany, New York. Hugh, thank you for joining us today. And we are on the cusp of the second Trump administration. And what are analysts expecting out of the second non-consecutive term? Do they believe it's going to be a continuation of policies from that first term, 2017 to 2021?
Yeah, I think the policies are going to continue, but importantly, the tax reductions of 2017 are likely to continue, especially because we're talking about, I don't think it's final yet, a clean sweep by Trump and his group. So I think we're talking about tax reductions, number one. Number two, we're talking about, I think, significant changes in regulations. Reductions are probably the right word in regulations, and that's music to the ears of, I think, investors generally. So I think the tax reductions is probably at the top of the list, and that looks like it's going to go through without any difficulty, although keep in mind that that's also likely to increase the levels of deficits and debt.
It's interesting, and that's what I'm trying to get out of our economic experts as they come on the show, and that is how does the economy of 2024, soon to be 2025, how does it compare to the economy of 2017 when Trump was first elected? At the time, 8 years ago, it was a low interest rate environment. Money was cheap. The Fed was still into quantitative easing, and now we're in a more restrictive monetary environment, and how does that affect the Trump 2.0 calculus?
Well, first of all, we're in a higher interest rate environment, but let's keep in mind what the Federal Reserve did yesterday, which is, of course, to reduce interest rates, and I think most of us expect that they'll continue to reduce interest rates. They'll do so at their December meeting and at least four times as we move through 2025, so it has been a low interest rate environment or higher interest rate environment. It's likely headed towards a lower interest rate environment, and the second thing is when you look at prospects for the economy and earnings for 2025, although people have been, generally speaking, talking about things being somewhat gloomy, they're really about as good as you could expect. In 2025, we'll see an expansion in the economy. The second thing we're going to see is a continuation of a decline in the levels of inflation, and I think right along with it, the level of interest rates, longer-term interest rates, and I think that carries with it some positive implications for stock prices, and you're certainly seeing that show up in the performance of the markets since we got the election results on Tuesday. So I think it's really we're headed towards a very positive environment for the economy, for earnings, for stock prices, and I think that's being reflected in the performance of the markets. I think it's really simple and straightforward.
And then one of the big economic debates that's been taking place since Tuesday among analysts, anybody who covers business has a take on the tariff issue, whether or not the president-elect is going to follow through on enacting tariffs on trade partners, or if this is just simply a negotiating tactic.
Well, that's really a big question. And the reason that's such a big question is when we talk about, of course, reducing taxes and reducing revenues and increasing deficits, somebody's got to buy those bonds. That has to be financed. And to a great extent, that's foreign investors. And if those foreign investors are facing significantly higher tariffs, they're going to be somewhat reluctant to step up to the plate and buy those bonds that result in the increased deficits and debt. So that really creates a collision, and a collision which might be difficult. It might require higher interest rates in order to get foreign investors to buy the deficits which are going to be created by the reduction in taxes. It's a complex but a very interesting issue, and probably the foremost issue, I think, that faces the U.S. economy as we move through 2025 and 2026. It's going to be very, very testing.
Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer, Hugh Johnson Economics in Albany, New York. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, we'll check in with a man behind Lincoln Park's Neon Gardens.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We welcome in Mark Kwiatkowski, owner of Replay Lincoln Park and now Neon Gardens and Slice Hut, located at 2756 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And the through line through your business ownership in this city is a little bit of nostalgia, a little bit of pop culture, and a lot of modern food and drink.
Yeah. I'm trying to stay on trend, I guess, and figure out what the young people want and keep them excited and frequenting my places.
Now, at the same time, though, Replay Lincoln Park and Neon Gardens, you say it's geared towards younger people, but the business concept seems like it's aimed squarely at the generation of kids, and I was among them, who went to Pizza Hut way back when and plugged a lot of quarters into Zaxxon or Galaga or Pole Position.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And I think people your age, my age, have kids that, we're trying to introduce them to that kind of fun nostalgia that we grew up with. Like one of my kind of standard battle cries is that you can't play Zaxxon or Galaga while holding a phone, right? You got to put your phone down and at least interact with your friends, play competitively, have fun that way, and not be tied to your device. So that's part of the equation.
Now, how much, you know, as a business owner, how much of your day or gaming out, no pun intended, these concepts, how much of this is we got to make sure this is a money-making enterprise that exists inside current marketplace trends? And how much of this is being a showman, no different than directing a movie or a TV show or putting together a theme park experience?
Well, money is first and foremost, obviously. You can't keep making a new show without, you know, success of the prior show. So money obviously is, you got to strike on something that's going to drive some traffic and get people spending a little bit of money. It's funny when you compare me to, or my ventures into, compared to a movie theater or whatever, it's very much that. My mom asks me, she's like, why don't you just keep the same pop-up for a long time? And I said, Mom, you know, it is like owning a movie theater. You can have the best popcorn, the best soda. You have video games in movie theaters as well. But what's drawing you to the movie theater? The next blockbuster, the next exciting new movie. And we've got to keep it fresh and exciting in our world, in the bar and restaurant hospitality world. We got to keep coming up with the new hits, the new ideas, the new things that are going to drive the young people into my places.
And then when we talk about introducing the nostalgia component, whether it is video games or when it comes to the Chicago Bears themed pop-up patio that's next up, how deep into the well of nostalgia do you go? Like when you have the Chicago Bears pop-up, do you have that 80s poster with Jim McMahon at Soldier Field, the Chicago Vice poster where he's wearing the Don Johnson suit and sunglasses?
No, we don't have that one. It's more traditional Bears nostalgia. But, you know, we have the numbers references to some of the legendary, you know, Walter Payton and even Sid Luckman and McMahon's numbers represented, but we don't have that exact poster. I don't know why we didn't think of that exactly, but, you know, 85 Bears were heroes of mine for sure, but I don't think it's been too long for us in Chicago that you kind of, I don't know, people don't really, I bet if I asked 20 of my patrons who Jim McMahon was, they probably wouldn't know.
What are we teaching in school, huh?
Yeah,
kids
exactly,
have to
yeah.
learn reading, writing, arithmetic, and the punky QB.
Excellent. Yes, I like that.
And then just on top of that, you know, you have the whole showmanship element to it. And what does this mean, though, for patrons when they come in and they can kind of relive their past just a little bit, whether it's through video games or going to the pop-up bar, just kind of losing themselves in the experience?
Yeah, so I love it. So Replay, we don't allow. We're 21 and up. We're a bar. But down at Neon Gardens, at 2576 North Lincoln, I believe you said something different. There, you know, we're a full-service restaurant and all ages, obviously. And I love families coming in and, you know, dad introducing Galaga to their, you know, 10-year-old son. Or we've got Mario Kart, which is obviously not that vintage, but it's, you know, vintage for some of the kids that come in, and the joy of mom and dad playing and the kids watching, or mom taking on, you know, little Susie or whatever. It's just so much fun to see that. And then even if the parents don't want to play that, they might get tired of playing the games a little bit, but they can sit down, have some pizza, some wine, and the kids are off in the game room playing, just, you know, as you were or I was at Pizza Hut in the 80s and 90s. So it's just, you know, kind of bringing back some of that that joy that is, you know, maybe slipped away a little bit.
Mark Kwiatkowski, owner of Replay Lincoln Park and now Neon Gardens and Slice Hut, located at 2576 North Lincoln Avenue. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, how to approach a season of excess with financial responsibility.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
With holiday spending expected to break records, it's critical approach to the season with a financial responsibility to avoid overspending. Joining us to discuss is Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst with Bankrate.com in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. And yeah, this is November, December. Those are the months when you can drop the big one on your credit cards and bank accounts and run up balances that will cost you over time. Is there a way to sensibly shop for the holidays? Is there a method that can keep you from breaking the bank at Christmas time?
There is, and my favorite tip on this front is to set money aside ahead of time. We still have about 6.5 weeks before Christmas. You probably still have 4 paychecks between now and the end of the year. Set money aside from each of them. Let that be your holiday fund. The National Retail Federation says the average American spends about $900 on Christmas gifts and decorations. You know, saving that a couple $100 at a time is a good deterrent against credit card debt. I don't want to say you can't have any fun or you can't buy anything. Just make sure you've accounted for that ahead of time. If you put it on a credit card and you're still paying it off a year from now, that's what we want to avoid.
And then you talk about setting some money aside. I mean, way back when, there was a financial instrument called the Christmas Club Savings Account. Is that a common practice anymore?
It's not particularly common under that name, but I feel like the sentiment behind that should very much be alive and well. You know, whether that's keeping a digital budget or using an app or even just using old-fashioned envelopes. I mean, believe it or not, even a lot of Gen Zers are sort of bringing this back into fashion. The point is, all these adages about paying yourself first and giving every dollar a job, it is really important to allocate your money in that sort of way. We found that half of Americans made impulse buys last holiday season. I mean, again, not to tell you you can't have any fun or you can't buy anything, but just make sure you've set that aside ahead of time. Then it's not really an impulse, or at least it's not a harmful impulse if you have the money set aside. What you don't want to do is load up on credit card debt or buy now, pay later, too. I mean, sometimes we trick ourselves into $50 here and $50 there, and all of a sudden you spent way more than you realized.
What is the biggest budget buster? Is it we're going on a vacation and around the holiday time, or is it I have just purchased, you know, the 10,000-inch TV?
Travel costs really add up. We actually found that more than 8 in 10 holiday travelers are making changes this year because of inflation. So they're doing things like traveling for fewer days, they're picking cheaper accommodations, they're driving instead of flying. That's one big ticket item that people can cut back on relatively easily, I would say. In terms of gifts, you know, it's really just about shopping smartly, setting the budget. Try to stack discounts. A bit of good news is that it's a buyer's market this year. Retailers are offering deep discounts. Combine that with other saving strategies, like a rewards credit card that you pay off right away, and an online shopping portal like Rakuten. That could be a third way to save on the same purchase.
Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.